to begin with Ed Fulner. Ed is the president of the Heritage Foundation and author of the best-selling book, Getting America Right.
Thank you, Leonard. Thank you.
He holds a PhD from the University of Edinburgh and an MBA from the Wharton School. Currently, Ed serves on the boards of ISI, Mont Pelerin Society, and the Acton Institute. He also served on the board of visitors of George Mason University. He was the president of the Philadelphia Society from 1982 to 1983. Ed?
Thanks very much, Victoria. Cinderella, unfortunately, had to go back home last night, but we're very proud of our Patriots. As you all know, I am on a national book tour for... My favorite new bumper sticker, however, is one I picked up. One of our guests gave it to me in Tucson. It simply says, "I'd rather hunt with Dick Cheney than ride with Ted Kennedy." I hope that's something that unites us all. I decided I would take my very limited amount of time to talk about something that has not been discussed adequately under our broad theme today, and that is the whole question of economic systems around the world, and specifically put a plug for another Heritage publication, our annual Index of Economic Freedom, because as I think about the Philadelphia Society over the 40-plus years that we've been in existence, and I think back to some of our late and extraordinary members of the Philadelphia Society, I am reminded, for example, that one of my certainly intellectual godfathers, Russell Kirk, who is not usually thought of in this connection, did, of course, write an introductory economics book. So there are things that do unite us, as Cy Bunting so nicely said in the panel yesterday afternoon. The Index of Economic Freedom, which I didn't bring a copy, and I am not signing any copies, however, I will happily send anyone a complimentary copy if you'll give me your name and address. If you don't have it, or go to heritage.org, you can either download it or you can... Examine the different criteria by which we and our colleagues at the Wall Street Journal evaluate the 157 countries around the world that we annually look at in terms of economic freedom. As we've continued this process over the years, one of the points I've insisted on to our editors and authors of the index is to remind people why economic freedom matters. And economic freedom matters, and it's statistically proven year after year, and the data is in these cumulative volumes. Increased economic freedom means increased economic growth. Increased economic growth means increased per capita income. Around the world, it's true. It's true in every nation with which we have been able to measure. It's true whether you're using numbers from a particular government agency, from an international company like Deloitte and Touche or Transparency International or any of the other sources that we routinely use, or whether it's journalists like the Economist Research Unit or the Wall Street Journal itself or the others that we use. Or whether it's the international financial institutions, the IMF and World Bank, whose numbers, again, we use routinely. Increased economic freedom means increased economic growth, means higher per capita income for the average citizen. We measure, in the current edition, 157 countries around the world, and the trend over the last 3 or 4 years has actually been a positive one. The most recent year, 99 countries had more economic freedom, 51 had less. 5 basically remained the same. We categorize countries in 4 broad categories. 20 are free, 52 are mostly free, 73 mostly unfree, and 12 are repressed. We go from the top, Hong Kong number one, Singapore number two, to the bottom, North Korea, Iran, Burma, Zimbabwe, etc. We look at 10 specific measures, each of which has particular components: trade, fiscal burden, government intervention, monetary policy, foreign investment, banking and finance, wages and prices, property rights, regulation, and the informal market. Each of these, again, every country has a separate score. The scores are then aggregated, and the average is taken to determine the scores in particular countries. How's the good old US of A doing? Not as well as it should be. 2005, we slid for the first time out of the top 10. We slid to number 12. 2006, the edition that was just released about 90 days ago, we're back in a tie with Australia and New Zealand for number 9, which is better. A practical policy implication of our Index of Economic Freedom, and again, the reason I am talking about the index is because I think it is one of those things that unites us as conservative as a broad conservative umbrella organization and as a conservative movement, not only in the United States, but basically with our international guests as well. One of the policy results has been our recommendation that various political leaders around the world have taken up. Lady Thatcher devotes a considerable amount of time in her book, Statecraft, to the idea of a global free trade alliance. This would be a rules-based free trade organization, not one that is necessarily geographically based. It would provide for almost automatic entry for any country that meets four basic criteria. Number one, minimum tariffs and non-tariff barriers. Number two, openness to capital flows and foreign investment internationally, which also means repatriation of capital. Number three, rule of law, which means protection of private property rights with an independent judiciary. And number four, low levels of regulation. When we look at the 157 countries we measure around the world, there would be 12 countries immediately eligible. 19 other countries basically would need some fairly minor, I'm sure they're all politically difficult, but changes in just one of those four factors before they too would be eligible. Our ultimate vision of such a global free trade alliance is that it could be carried out instead of by 39 floors of bureaucrats in Turtle Bay, New York, all of the United Nations, could be carried out by one laptop computer and perhaps two staff people to see who actually meets the criteria. If they meet, that country meets the criteria, is willing to sign up, open up their own markets, they then have reciprocal access to other markets. In effect, a way around the trade negotiations that seem to burden the whole world all the time. It's a new positive idea, we think, for the future. It's an idea that we hope will gain conservative support around the world, and it's one that everyone who believes in freedom in a very large part of our lives, that is the economic part, will be able to embrace. Again, more information available on our website. I thank everybody for being here this early, and if this sounded a little bit like a digression from some of the issues we talked about yesterday, in an era of globalization, I just would point out that what happens economically affects all of us every day, whereas what happens politically, we are only able really to affect at certain discrete intervals, like the first Tuesdays in November in the United States. So I urge all of you to take a look at it and consider it as a unifying and bringing together kind of theme for all of us as conservatives. Thanks very much.